Well, turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and to that verse that we read from that chapter. Just one other announcement. There will be a retiring offering next Lord's Day after the meeting for the work of the Whitfield College. So do remember that, please. And also all the Missionary Council envelopes, which is also due in next week, that as well will be going towards the mission, the Whitfield College offering. So do remember that, and do pray for college. We thank God for it, and for that opportunity for young men and women to train for the work of the Lord, be it as missionaries, evangelists, or ministers, or pastors in the work of the Lord. We'll just bow together, please, in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence already in this meeting. And Lord, our prayer is that that sense of Thy presence, that awareness of the Lord being amongst us will increase. And Lord, that Thou will just come alongside us, we pray. Still our hearts, O God, before Thee. Take away distracting thoughts and cares, O God, and just speak to us today afresh through Thy word. Lord, Thou dost know our need today. Thou dost know what we need to hear from Thee, Lord. Let the words of man fall to the ground, Lord, but let Thy word prevail in hearts to the saving of souls, to the strengthening and edifying, Lord, of every believer in Christ in this meeting, and to the glorifying of our Savior. To this end, empty me of self and of sin. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, and give help and power and enablement and the mind of God for this meeting. And Lord, let Thy word go forth with blessing to every heart and soul. Pour out Thy Spirit. Take full control, we pray, for we ask it all in the Savior's great name. Amen. Our text for today is verse number 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, where it says, "Pray without ceasing." Now, last Lord's Day morning, we commenced a message regarding the great privilege and precept of prayer in the life of every Christian. And in dealing with that matter, we noted how every Christian is to pray to God, their Heavenly Father. We saw also how the prayers of the believer to God are all accepted before God through Christ, through the merits of Christ. We also noted for the believer to pray to anyone else or anything else is to commit the sin of idolatry. We also looked at some of the places where the Lord's people can pray as His children. They can pray in the private place, the place of quietness. They can pray in the workplace, the place of employment. They can pray in the place of public worship where they gather together publicly with God's people to be publicly identified with the cause of Christ. And also the Christian can pray in God's work. We noted how whatever the aspect of God's work that the believer is involved in, that work must always be accompanied by prayer. And then we noted also that God's people can pray in their homes with their families, husbands and wives, parents and children. And oh, that the walls of our homes would be witnesses to our prayers and to our supplications. And my, the upshot of all this is that there should be no place where the Christian, the child of God, cannot pray. Now today I want just to continue on with this message and to bring it to a conclusion in the will of the Lord. Our text here says, "Pray without ceasing." Over in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says to His people, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." In the book of the Psalms, the Lord says to His people, "Seek ye My face." And again in the Gospel of Luke, Christ Himself is speaking to His people, and He says, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And dear people, this morning, in light of these tremendous words, indeed many tremendous promises regarding prayer, I believe there are many other things that the Lord would want to teach you and I in the school of prayer. And it's some of those matters that I want us just to focus upon for a little while this morning. I want you to think, first of all, today about the season one every Christian should pray. You look at our text again, it says, pray without ceasing. Notice in particular those words there, without ceasing, and they really show that until heaven itself, the believer should never leave off the yoke of prayer. The hymn writer says, prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. And child of God this morning, until the Lord comes, and he is coming back again, or until the Lord calls us home to heaven, whenever that will be, wherever that will be, you and I are to continue, as the Bible says, in prayer. We are not to leave off prayer. There is no time when prayer is out of season for the Christian or for the Church of Christ. In the book of the Psalms, number 55, in the verse 17, David is speaking there about his own prayer life. And he says these words, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And what instruction there is there for us as believers, even from the very example of the psalmist David. Why, we should begin our days with prayer, committing the affairs of that day to the Lord for his help, his blessing, his protection, his direction. My, it is good also to pray in the very middle of our days, asking the Lord for further help and blessing and grace in the work of our hands that particular day that we are involved in. And I also, we should close our days with prayer, confessing, yes, our sins of that day to the Lord, and also asking for divine blessing upon the works of our hands, and especially our labors for the Lord that day. David says, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Also, as believers in Christ, the Bible would teach us that before we eat our meals, we should pray. We should give thanks to God for the food on our plates and ask the Lord's blessing upon it. You think of the greatest of all examples in that, the example of Christ and that great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. The Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. Christ was one who prayed before his food and gave thanks to God and asked God's blessing upon it. And dear people of God, that's the example that God wants you and I to follow in our prayer life, giving thanks to God for our food and our plates, and asking God's blessing upon it to our bodies and to the needs of others. Also, when we think further of the season when every Christian should pray, we can also say that in times of fear, we should pray for help. And if we're honest today, all of us face times of fear at one time or another in our lives as Christians. Turn back to Psalm number 56. And look just with me there at the testimony of David in verse number 3 of the Psalm. And you'll see just from the language that he uses, this was a time of fear for David. In Psalm 56, in the verse number 3, he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David was a great man of God. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who knew great blessing from God, who knew what it was to walk with God and in be close communion with God. Yet he also knew what it was to be afraid. He was not immune from fear. And it says there, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He trusted in the Lord in his time of fear. But the thing I want you to note here is, how did he show his trust in the Lord in his time of fear? He showed it by prayer. Look at how he begins that same psalm, Psalm 56, verse 1. He begins it with prayer by saying, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. And what a lesson there is for us. Child of God, are you in a time of fear today? Is there something perplexing your heart, your mind, something that concerns you personally? Maybe your home, your family, your work, your employment. Bring it to God in prayer seek God in the quiet place, in the place of prayer regarding that situation. Also, as believers in Christ, in times of sorrow, we should pray. We should ask God for His help and for His strength. Remember what the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And sorrow is especially a time of need when we should pray and ask for God's help and God's strength. Again, it goes the same with times of sickness. When sickness comes to us all, comes to all our homes, it comes to all our families. In times of sickness, we should pray for the Lord's help, pray for the Lord's grace, pray for the Lord's strength. Remember what Mary and Martha did when their brother Lazarus was ill? They sent word to Christ. It was really a form of prayer. They said, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick." They were asking the Lord for help and strength and grace in the time of sickness. Let us follow their example, dear people of God. And also in times of important decision, when important choices are to be made, decisions that affect us, affect our children, our homes, our family, those that we rub shoulders with in our personal, our private life, our public life, or in the work of God, what are we to do? We're to pray. We're to ask God for His counsel and His direction in the matter. The Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." We're to ask God for guidance. You think this morning, child of God, of the little children's chorus, one that we often love to sing. Very simple, yet so sublime. It says, "Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune." Child of God, by God's grace, may that be your testimony. May that be my testimony. Yes, the season when every Christian should pray. But notice secondly this morning, not only the season for prayer, but the matters that every Christian should pray about and can pray about. You turn in your Bible over there to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. And here we have record there in verses 9 to 13 of the Lord's Prayer. And here the Lord gives, if you like, a model prayer for God's people to follow and to help them and to guide them about matters to pray for in their life and in the work of God. Here the Lord is teaching the Christian about some of the things that you and I as believers that we can pray about and pray for. You look at verse 10 there of Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that teaches us as Christians, we should be praying for the coming of Christ, "thy kingdom come." We should be praying for the will of God to be done in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. Look at verse number 11 that follows on from that. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And that teaches us how we are to pray daily for our provisions, for our temporal needs, for our temporal cares, whatever those are. We're to pray for God to help and God just to meet the need day by day that concerns us. Again, look at what he says in verse 12 of the chapter. He says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And that speaks to us, yes, about the importance of seeking the Lord's forgiveness when we sin against the Lord and praying for that fresh cleansing in our lives as Christians through the blood of Christ. But it also speaks of how we are to nurture a forgiving spirit even towards others, and we're to pray for grace to that end in our lives as believers. And then look also there at verse number 13 of the chapter. He says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And that speaks about praying to the Lord for guidance. Lead us not, it says, into temptation. It means seeking the Lord for victory over sin and over the pitfalls, the traps, the snares, the temptations that the devil would set before us as God's people. Oh, child of God, can I say these are some of the things that you and I can pray about on a daily basis, daily in our lives. Think again of the counsel of Paul to young Timothy about prayer. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, he says there about prayers for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then in verse 4, in the same context, he says, who will of all men to be saved? And there we are taught as Christians how we are to pray for those who would rule over us in the land. We should pray that they would rule in such a way that the gospel or God's kingdom would not be hindered in any fashion. We should pray that they would rule and uphold God's word in their rule in the land, and that they would be a terror to evildoers as is taught to us in the scriptures. Also, we see there that we're to pray for the salvation of all kinds of people. Paul says of the Lord, who will have all men to be saved. That means all kinds, all different types of people. We're to pray for the salvation of souls. You remember again the counsel of the Lord to his own people regarding God's work. In Matthew 9, verse 38, he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. And that shows us how we are to pray for laborers in God's work. We're to pray for God to send forth ministers or missionaries or evangelists or children's workers, youth workers, my servants of God to the uttermost ends of the earth. We're to pray to that end. Regularly here, month by month, we have missionaries who come to our meetings on the Lord's Day or maybe in the midweek. And they'll give their normal report of the work that they're involved in. But every one of them, without exception, will ask and will request that we hold the ropes for them in prayer, that we support them in prayer by our petitions day by day. And how important that is. Just look at the request of Paul the Apostle here as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, where our text is found this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at what he says to this church at Thessalonica in verse 25 of the same chapter. He says, brethren, pray for us. He solicited their prayers. He coveted the prayers of this church for him and the work that he was involved in. How we should be praying continually for God's servants, his faithful ambassadors for Christ, ministers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, youth workers, children's workers, those whom we know who are faithful to God and to his word and to his truth. It's our responsibility to pray for them daily at the throne of grace. Also, as Christians, we can pray for our fellow believers that they might be edified in the things of God. You remember what Paul said to the believers in the church at Colossae in Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. He says, we do not cease to pray that you might walk worthy of the Lord. He was praying there for them just to go on with God in their Christian life. And again, we can be praying for ourselves, for our fellow believers, that we will be made more like Christ, that we will conform more and more to Christ, that we will live to God's honor and God's glory in this world day by day. You look again at that passage where our text is found, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at the counsel there of Paul in verses 12 and 13 of the chapter in particular. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them. That word know means to acknowledge them, which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And here Paul is telling God's people how they are to respect those who are responsible for the spiritual oversight of the church and the local congregation. And brethren and sisters in Christ, one of the ways that we can show our respect to such is by praying for such. The oversight in the church, the elders, the deacons, the pastor, whatever, praying that each one will know God's wisdom, God's help, and God's guidance as they are responsible for the oversight, the spiritual oversight, and the temporal oversight of the church, the congregation to which we belong. Oh, child of God, can I say to you this morning, there are many things that we can be praying about when it comes to both private prayer, when it comes to also public prayer. There are many, many things that we can be praying about. Yes, the matters that we can pray for. The seasons when the Christian should pray. But notice just finally this morning the manner in which the Christian is to pray. The manner in which they are to pray. You know, often the word Acts, A-C-T-S, has been used to help, or if you like, to guide the Christian in their prayer life. And what does that little word mean when we apply it to prayer? Well, think of the letter A, just for example. The word A stands for adoration. And my, when we come to pray, let us remember that we're coming to adore the Lord, to give adoration to the Lord. Let us remember when we come to pray, we're coming to one who is almighty, who is all-knowing, who is all-present, who is full of great mercy. As we come to pray to such a God, let us be desirous that the Holy Spirit Himself will help us and guide us in prayer. The Bible says the Spirit Himself helpeth our infirmities. And when we come to pray to such a God, let us remember that God is able. That God is able to answer prayer. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible says, with God all things are possible. My, when we come to pray, be it private prayer, be it public prayer, let us remember the greatness of the One to whom we pray, the great I Am, the One who really is beyond all human comprehension, all human description, the One who is Alpha and Omega, the One who is the beginning and the end, the One who inhabiteth eternity. Oh, what a God we have to pray to this morning. Acts speaks of adoration. Think of the letter C. It speaks of confession. And my, when we pray, we're to come before the Lord with humble hearts as His people, confessing our sins to the Lord. And with that burden for God's will to be done in our life and in our circumstances. Turn with me back to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Look please at the verse number 14. And this verse was written specifically to the church of Christ in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, to all God's people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. And notice what the Lord says here about prayer to His people. He says, if my people which are called by my name, notice it, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We're to come with humility of heart before God, confessing our sins, our faults, our feelings, our shortcomings, whatever, and we're to come desirous that not our will, but God's will be done in our lives and circumstances and situations. You think about that, dear child of God, this morning, and I want you to think about the greatest example of prayer that you'll ever find, the example of Christ, and what a study the prayer life of Christ is for every believer. But how did our Lord pray at the Garden of Gethsemane when He was going to the cross? What was His petition? He prayed in Matthew 26, verse 39, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. He was praying for the will of the Father to be done, and how we must come humbly before God, confessing, yes, our sins, but seeking and praying for God's will to be done in our lives and in our situations, how we must bow to the will of God in the place of prayer. And also when we think of this matter of confession and connection to our own prayer life, it's vital also as God's people that we have a forgiving spirit toward others. Remember what Christ says in the Gospel of Mark, He says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. I were to have a forgiving spirit even toward others, even towards other believers in Christ maybe, that maybe have offended us in some way. Not to harbor a grudge in our heart and our souls. We're to have a forgiving spirit. Yes, A speaks for adoration. C speaks for confession. Think of the letter T. It speaks of thanksgiving. And my, when we come to pray, it's important that we thank God in our prayers for blessings received. For answers prayer. answers to our prayers. One of the things we asked for recently was prayer for new children to come into the children's meeting in Rich Hill. God has answered that prayer. That's something we should thank God for and praise God for. The Bible says to us as Christians, by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Our prayers are to be salted and seasoned with praise to God and thanksgiving. Oh, may we not be like the 9 lepers whom the Lord healed, whom the Lord touched, whom the Lord blessed, yet they failed to return to the Lord to give thanks for His blessing. Dear Christian, remember this of thanksgiving. From our hearts, in our daily tongues and conversation, and in the place of prayer, something that brings great glory to God, brings great honor to the Lord. And then in the word action of the letter S, and what does that stand for? It speaks of supplication. And that means us asking for things of God, for ourselves and for others. Things that are agreeable to God's word. Things that are agreeable to the will of God. You remember again what Paul said to the Christians in the church at Ephesus. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He talks there about praying always. Dear people, it's vitally important that you and I be persistent. And supplicating the throne of grace for His blessing, yes, in our lives and in the blessing of other believers and other Christians. Oh, child of God, can I say this is how the Lord wants you and I to pray? There's many more things we could say and take you to, but time does not permit. But I will say this, all through God's Word, He gives us some wonderful promises and encouragements to pray in this fashion. Just turn over there to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll leave you with one today, Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse number 20. Look at this tremendous promise, a tremendous encouragement to pray. And here Paul is speaking about the Lord, and he says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Think of those words, dear Christian. Mark them in your Bible. May those words ever encourage you and I as Christians to be often found at the mercy seat, the place where Jesus answers prayer. Speaking about the importance and the great blessing of prayer, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, prayer is the breath of faith. Prayer meetings are the lungs of the church. And if you and I don't have lungs in our physical body, you'll know what will happen. How important then the prayer meeting is to the church. And it's a meeting that we should not miss. I believe, Christian, it's a meeting we should move heaven and earth, as it were, to be at. To be at the prayer meetings before the services on the Lord's Day. To be at the prayer meetings at the midweek, during the week that lies before us. Because the prayer meeting is the life breath of the church. It's the lungs of the church. And I would encourage you, child of God, whether you're saved a long time, maybe you're just recently converted and come to know the Lord, go to the prayer meeting. Be at the prayer meeting. And that's where you will be blessed as a Christian. That's where you will grow in grace and go on with God. That's where you'll be strengthened in your Christian life. And in your testimony for the Savior. Unsee a friend in our meeting this morning, man, woman, young person, boy or girl. Let me say this, the life of prayer, it begins with you calling upon the Lord for salvation. Remember the words of the psalmist, he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me out of all his trouble. Remember the conversion of the dying thief at the cross. He cried out in prayer, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Indeed, the Bible says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're still not saved this morning, call upon the Lord for salvation. Repent of your sin before God. Confess your sin to God. Trust in the redeeming blood, the redeeming work of Christ to save your soul and fit you for heaven. And go on in the Christian life and begin a life of prayer. You know, in the work of God, we often think about certain people, certain personalities, maybe preachers or ministers or whatever, men that maybe who would have been greatly used publicly, before the public eye, before people. But I tell you this morning, people, where the real blessing lies in the church of Christ, where the real work is done, it's in the quiet place. It's in the place of prayer, where God's people meet faithfully in public or meet privately before the Lord to seek God, to call upon His name. May the Lord give us each one a fresh burden, a fresh desire in these days to seek the Lord and to call upon His name, because it is through prayer and prayer alone that God's work is built up and prospered and forwarded for the glory of Christ. We're going